In the name of the living Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If we had had the set reading from the Old Testament today, we would have been reading from the book of Genesis and about the call of the Abraham prophets. Here is a passage where God instructs Abraham what he must do in his responsibilities of being the leader of nations. And in our reading that we had from Romans, that is touched upon again to remind us what it is. But we also learn from that chapter that in our modern day life, when we are constantly told in times of disturbance that people must live by the law, how many times do the politicians say we must obey the law of the land? And very often the first who don't live in the rule of the law of the land are the politicians who are saying it. But of course we're not supposed to notice that. But it is a fact, isn't it, that we could all live through the eyes of the law along our own interpretation. But our own interpretation is not necessarily a witness for our faith. Because if I were to suggest to you a piece of music which I like and love to listen to, or a musician that I constantly have playing his music in my flat, and that is the pianist Richard Clayderman. Probably many of you in the congregation who would first say, who is he? And secondly, it's not the type of music that they like. But we're still, both of us, living within the realms of the law. But the law in our hearts and minds has to have something additional. Because if we are to be truly representative of God and the Holy Spirit and his Son Jesus Christ, then we have to live our lives not just within the frames of the legal law, but the heavenly law of faith. And that is probably the most demanding of all attributes. I wonder how many of you, and I can just about at my age remember when Coronation Street started. Do you remember? Well, in the earlier days of Coronation Street, there are two things which I always remember about it. One was Ina Sharples, not exactly known for her tact, and also the Glad Tidings Mission Hall. Now, the Glad Tidings Mission Hall doesn't seem to exist anymore, or if it is, there's obviously nobody to take care of it. But in that period, one of the most forthright preachers of our Methodist Church was the Reverend Dr. Lately Davison. And apart from being 1 year of president, he was also the secretary of what we had then, the Home Mission Department. And I remember going to a big rally in the Free Trade Hall of Manchester when Dr. Davison was the preacher. And he said, make one thing firmly in your mind, that if Christ was here today, he wouldn't be worshipping and you wouldn't find him in the Glad Tidings Mission Hall. You would find him in the Rover's Return. Why? Because those in the Glad Tidings Mission Hall, hopefully, will have heard and lived by the news of the Gospel. Those, perhaps, in the Rover's Return are the ones who need to learn about the Gospel news of Christ and his way and truth and life. And that situation has never actually changed. In our reading today, Jesus says, I didn't come for sacrifice, I came to give mercy. And my goodness, we live in a world today that needs mercy. And then we go to the reading from Matthew's Gospel, which is the calling of Matthew. Now, in Matthew's of this day and age, perhaps we would put them in the department of His Majesty's Customs and Excise Department. They want more money from us to spend. There are 2 points about that. They always need more money, but I'm not always sure they know how to spend it. But Matthew was not a popular figure in his locality and population. He was not the sort of person that the best disciples, some of them, were not sure that Matthew was a good choice to come and be one of them. Why? Because people knew his reputation, which was not particularly favourable. Now, on the service sheet, I put the question, after Pentecost, where are you in your journey of mission? Pentecost, when we celebrated 2 weeks ago, we rejoice at the coming of the power of the Spirit. But what first question we've got to ask ourselves is how deep in our minds and in our hearts that Holy Spirit has bedded itself and become part of us. Because if it hasn't, then we're not going to make much progress, are we? We live in a world where people seem to be growing in intolerance of other people in their midst. I'm going to test your memory again. Can you remember 1960? This I can remember. It is in my lifetime. But in 1960, particularly young people throughout the world were protesting for things which they thought ought to be changed. And just to refresh your memory a bit, in the United States, young people were constantly protesting against the war in Vietnam. In Paris, the students were protesting about the policies of their then government in the French Parliament. And here we had odd demonstrations, but nothing quite like what we're having at the moment. But the whole theme around it was that if things change and people with power change, all would be well. But change in itself doesn't produce results. It might bring change, but is it change of the right nature? The king, at the beginning of his coronation, said, "I come to serve, not to be served," or the other way around. What about us? We come and proclaim the faith of Jesus Christ. We try to reflect within ourselves the way, the truth, and the life which Jesus presents to us. But he doesn't leave it, or the Lord doesn't leave it, to ourselves to do it on our own. Because the Holy Spirit was his promise to his disciples when he departed from this earthly life. But if we are going to show that Spirit in all aspects of our faith, then we've got to be sure that we understand what it is about and the power that it provides. Now, with that in mind, are you, and let us answer this honestly in our hearts and minds, are you, in the 2 weeks since we received and celebrated receiving the Holy Spirit, are we any different to what we were before? Because if we're not, then we've really got to get our minds and hearts in our knowledge to further us more. Change has to come in the development of life. Life is to be lived to the full. But in both instances, they have to be not just with the power of the Spirit, but the power of faith within us. So Jesus says, when the sick don't need a physician, but the sinners do, we first have to ask ourselves the question, which are we, the sick or the sinner? And that determines what our dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so I say to you today, Jesus chose Matthew, probably one of the most unexpected people of his generation, to be part of his kingdom. And in this day and age, God calls people probably we would never contemplate being called to be part of his kingdom. And whatever we may think, we ought to remind ourselves that God chooses. We obey or ignore. The choice is ours, but we must know what we're about and use that power of the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. I come not to be served, but to serve. And the world is waiting for you to begin that process of bringing some reconciliation in the hearts and minds of people around us. But just remember, we're not saying that to other people, we're saying it to ourselves. I always finish our prayers on a Thursday when I'm doing them. Remember, O Lord, what thou hast brought in us, and not what we deserve. And as you have called us to your service, make us worthy of that calling. Amen.